The high school is starting with Ayin Beis Amin Aleph, and Rabbi Levin is also starting Ayin Beis Amin Aleph, but it is called Perek Ben Sora Morah. So I thought we need to do a little bit of Ben Sora Morah. So there's this little tiny piece from the Mishnah Ayin Aleph and Beis to the Mishnah Ayin Beis Amin Aleph that I think opens up some doors, at least to understanding the sugya of Ben Sora Morah, to understanding the concept of Ben Sora Morah, and I think can serve as a Pesach for some other sugyas and shas that are worthwhile. So the Mishnah, as you saw on the bottom of Ayin Aleph and Beis, Ben Sora Morah Nidon Al Shem Sofo, Yamuz Zakai Va'al Yamuz Chayiv. So those are the key lines. That Ben Sora Morah is Nidon Al Shem Sofo, he's punished, but not for what he has done, but for what he will do. And then, almost unnecessarily, the Mishnah tells us, Yamuz Zakai Va'al Yamuz Chayiv. Let him die when he's Zakai. Don't wait till he becomes Chayiv for you to kill him. Kill him when he's Zakai. So, right off the bat, the two lines in the Mishnah seem to be repetitive. Nidon Al Shem Sofo obviously means that you're punishing him for what he will do, means that you're punishing him before he does anything wrong. So then to then say, Yamuz Zakai Val Yamuz Chayiv seems to be somewhat repetitive, that let him die before he does an Aveira, don't wait until he does an Aveira for him to get killed. So we'll have to think about that. The terminology described in Ben Sora Morah may be indicative of exactly what we're trying to accomplish with Ben Sora Morah. What I mean by that is as follows. I was just trying to think, what exactly, obviously Ben Sora Morah is a chiddush. It's a big chiddush that you're going to punish somebody, you're going to give somebody misa before they did anything that deserves misa. That itself is a tremendous chiddush. But what is the nature of this chiddush of Ben Sora Morah? I mean, why is it that we kill him before he did any avera? Is it b'toras onesh? And the chiddush haTorah is that just like normally when you give an onesh, you wait for a person to do an avera, then you punish him. You give the onesh. The chiddush Ben Sora Morah is that it's a pre-onesh. That it's an onesh, like any other onesh, except for that you give it before he does the avera rather than after he does the avera. That's one way to understand it. That it's like a person mechal Shabbos, chayv skila. Over here, chayv skila because he'll be mechal Shabbos. It's an onesh, it's just an onesh that comes a little bit early. That's one way to understand it. The other way to understand Ben Sora Morah, I think, is that it's not midin onesh. It's not that he's being punished for an avera, but it's midin rodeh. We're going to go through the sugyas of Rodef soon, where the halacha is very clear. If you see someone going to kill somebody else, you have a heter and a mitzvah to kill the Rodef, to kill the person who's about to commit the murder. So what is the yisod of Rodef? Why is it that you're allowed to kill him? Are you a beis din that has the right to issue a punishment, to issue an onesh? Absolutely not. You are not licensed to give any sort of onesh. So what's the yisod of Rodef? What's the din of Rodef? What's it based on? No, what is it? And therefore, I am saving someone's life. So the din of Rodef is the din of Hatzala. That I'm saving the person, I'm saving the potential victim by taking care of this guy, making sure that the victim never gets to become a victim. That this guy never gets to commit the crime whereby he's going to cost an innocent person his life. So that's a din of Rodef. So maybe Ben Sora Morah. So at what point does a person become a Rodef? You see, a person has a knife and he's about to stab the other guy and he's like, he's right by his heart, he's about to stab him. Then you kill him, so that's a very clear Rodef. You shoot him in the head so he doesn't get to stab him, he's Rodef. What if he's five steps behind him and he's chasing after him? So also you're allowed to kill him, right? He's trying, he might catch up to him. You're allowed to kill him as a Rodef. What if he's a mile away, he's on the train with a gun in his pocket on the way to go kill a man? Where exactly do you draw the line of what's called the Rodef, what's not called the Rodef? So the halacha must draw a line somewhere. The chiddush of Ben Sora Morah is that we get to push that line really, really far back. And we say, you know when he starts being called the Rodef? When we can accurately predict that one day he will do this damage, we can already call him a Rodef as a 13-year-old boy. That's a tremendous chiddush. Either way, whether you understand Ben Sora Morah as a din of Onesh, or whether you understand it as a din of Rodef, either way, it's an enormous chiddush. If it's a din of Onesh, the chiddush is, we never punish people before they do an Aveira. And here we're punishing him before we do an Aveira. If it's a din of Rodef, well, it's no chiddush that we're doing it before he does the Aveira. Rodef always gets killed before he does an Aveira. Right? That's the nature of Rodef. You kill a Rodef before he does the Aveira. But the chiddush would be that we draw the line of when we label him as a Rodef so much earlier in the process than we would generally do that. We start saying, well, psychologically, he's starting to exhibit certain tendencies that will lead to him becoming a murderer. Memela, we're going to already label him a Rodef. That's a very, very big leap. So that's the chiddush if it's Midin Rodef. Yeah?
What's the not being like,
Oh, we'll get to it. Okay, good. We'll get to the nafkaminas. Just so before we get to nafkaminas, so we said so far there's two possibilities. It's a din onesh or that it's a din rodev, right? And if it's a din rodev, the yisod of rodev is that you're saving the potential victim. There is another possibility of what rodev, what the heter of rodev is, why it is that there's din rodev. Not that you're saving the victim, but it could be that the din of rodev is, no, what do you think? What's the other possibility of what you're saving? You're saving him from doing the Avera. He's self-destructive. He's going to do something that's going to ruin his life. He's going to do things that are going to be very destructive to himself by doing these Averas. So Nitan Latzi Lo Binafsho, you can save him by killing him, and don't let him get to this point of killing other people, of being destructive in this way. So it could be Ben Sorum or Rizadin in that kind of rodev. Not that I'm interested in saving his future victims, but I'm interested in saving him from becoming someone who's going to ruin his own life. So Yom Zakai Val Yom Chayiv, for his own sake. Let him die as a Zakai, let him not die as Chayiv. Sounds like a din of Rodev. Now look at the Lashonos in the Mishnah. Ben Soru More, Nidon Al Shem Sofo. What does that sound like? Does that sound like a din of Onesh or a din of Rodev? And if it is a din of Rodev, which kind of Rodev? Sounds like Onesh. Nidon al Shem Sofa. It's going to be a din. Right? Sounds like Onesh. That it's a pre-Onesh. And then the Mishnah, unnecessarily, we thought, says, Yom Zakai Val Yom Eschayiv. Is that a din of Onesh? Not a din of Onesh. Yom Zakai Val Yom Eschayiv. That sounds like it's a din of Rodev, and we're saving him from himself. We're saving him from doing these averos where he's going to spiritually destroy himself. Or you could argue, just leaving the possibilities open, but as we go through the Rishonim, the Sugya, we should keep this Chakira in mind and see what the Rishonim, where the Rishonim fall on this. You could argue Yom Zaka Val Yom Eschayiv is explaining what the Chiddush of Ben Soromor is. Nidon Al Shem Sofo is the Din Onesh, and the Chiddush is that even though normally by Onesh you wait till the guy is Chayiv, over here it's a pre-Onesh, that it's Yom Zaka Val Yom Eschayiv. So it could be all a din of Onesh, but the Mishnah just wants to highlight where exactly the great Chiddush of Ben Soru Mora is, in that the Onesh comes so early. That is, but those are the different ways to look at Ben Soru Mora, I think. There may be other ways. L'may nafkamina. So I haven't wanted to know L'may nafkamina, whether something is a din Onesh or a din Rodev. So the halacha is, if someone is Mechal Shabbos, am I allowed to stone him to death? What's the halacha? I want to say, I saw someone turn on a light on Shabbos. So if one of my children, actually, this past Shabbos, accidentally turned on a light, realized that they accidentally turned off a light, realized that they accidentally turned it off, and immediately did what every good firm Jew does, and immediately turned it right back on. So let's say he were a bar das already, and whatever. Would I be allowed to stone him? No, why not? You need Eidim Asra, and there's a whole procedure you need. You also need a Beis Din, and I'm not a Beis Din. But let's say someone is out to kill me or to kill somebody else. Someone just sent me a link to a news clip of a guy who made a call in Texas, 911 call, and he was looking out the window and he saw someone breaking into his neighbor's house. And he said to the 911 operator, "Can I shoot him? I have a gun. Can I shoot him?" 911 operator said, "No." He said, "Well, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm shooting him." And he puts on the phone, and he hear boom. He's like, "I got him." So he killed the guy that was breaking in someone else's house. So is that okay? Let's assume the guy breaking was an armed robber and he was going to kill somebody, right? So you're allowed to stop. Of course, you're allowed to do that. Din Rodef has no need. There's no hasra. There's no Aiden. There's no. You don't need a Beis Din. You don't need Kabbalah Seidim Bafanov. You don't need any of the normal halachos that you need for a Beis Din. So, is it a din rodev or is it a din in onesh? Major nafkamina would be: do you need all the normal procedures that you would have in a Beis Din? So it turns out by Edom Zovman that you need some but not all. It turns out that it's somewhere in between. Kabbalah says of Edus Befanov, you don't have, because what did he do already? He didn't do the Averi yet, so there's no Kabbalah says Befanov. We're just killing him to stop him from what he's going to do in the future. But we don't just do it; a Beis Din has to do it. So it sort of falls somewhere in between, which is where everything is going to end up falling. I mean, we like to draw it in black and white, you know, is it a din of this, din of that, and the answer obviously is never really one or the other. It's some combination of the two. But that would be one nafkamina. Another nafkamina is, let's say a person is chayiv misas beis din. So what's the last thing he does? What does he do with his last breath before he gets killed? in Mises Beis Din. Remember, no, you learn the Mishnayis. Mishnayis say the last breath, the last thing he's got to do. What? I can't hear you. Vidui. Yeah. He does Vidui. Why does he do Vidui? Because the Misa, and part of the Vidui is that he davens Shate Misasi Kaparasi. That I want the Misa to be Kapara for me. And Mises Beis Din does in fact serve as a Kapara. In fact, so much so, the Rishonim asked the Kasha, the Mishnayis say that there are different cemeteries for people who are Chayv Skilas, Shreif, Herig, and Chenek, because there are different levels of Chomer, Ha'isser. Right, you for things that are very, very bad, you get skila or shreifa, depending which one is worse, and things that are a little less bad, harag or chenek, right? So you don't want to bury this din. You're not allowed to gemara in Sanhedrin. You're not allowed to bury a tzaddik etzel rasha or rasha etzel tzaddik. You can't bury rishon next to tzaddikim. They have to be separated into different sections. So some of the rishonim ask, well, wait a second, they're all tzaddikim. After they got the alamisus based in, it's kapara. Once they have kapara, they're all tzaddikim. Okay, Alamai, you have to say that part of the kapara, I think the Gemara maybe even says this, I don't remember, that part of the kapara is the burial process. That's part of the yisurin that they go through in order to be mechaper. That's all part of the kapara. So maybe once they're buried, they already have kapara, but to actually bury them, that's what Rav Shefta once pointed out. That's why the minhag is, if you go to cemeteries, you'll see a lot of times in a certain section of the cemetery, we'll say, young Israel of whatever, and then, you know, different shul names in different sections of the cemetery, that shuls by separate areas of the cemetery. So Shabbat thought that minhag is based on this halacha, that you're not supposed to bury people of different levels of religious observance next to each other. And the assumption is you go to the same shul, you're roughly around the same level. It's not exactly an exact science that everyone's exactly the same level in every shul, but you're roughly, you know, in the same basic idea, so you get the same basic section of the cemetery. But what do you have at Mises Beis Din? It's a kapara. It's a kapara. So the guy goes up lachar, I was going to say Mei Vesrim v'lachar, 5 minutes after you kill him. And what are they telling him in Beis Din Shel Mailu? Well, you did this terrible aver, but your misa was mechaper. So good, you can go to Olam Haba. But what about a rodef? A guy is chasing after someone to kill him. And I go and I shoot him and I stop the guy. So is that a kapara? Is his misa a kapara for him? Not so pashut at all. It may not be a kapara for him. We'll have to discuss. Maybe yes, but Pashtus, I think, is that it's not a kapara. There's no vidui, there's no process, there's no, it's just we shoot him while he's trying to kill somebody still. What did he do with his last breath? Tried to kill somebody. So there's no kapara there. Is it a mechaper for the ben sarumar? So you could argue, well, you want to tell me that if it's an onesh, it's a mechaper. If it's a rodef, it's not a mechaper. But why can you point out, why does that nafkamina not necessarily work for a ben sarumar? Right, he doesn't need kapara. So, I mean, you could say, in a chinami, you know, let's say it's a rodef. So what, we're robbing him of the kapara? No, he doesn't need kapara anyway, so there's no need for kapara. But that would be a nafkamina between whether something is a din of onesh or a din of rodef. Another nafkamina is how you kill the person. How do you kill the rodef? Whatever works. Whatever will stop him. You can kill him with a bullet, you can kill him with a stone, you can kill him, whatever will stop him. There's no rules. How do you kill someone who did an avera for which he's chayiv misa? So there's definite rules. The answer is different each time, but there are definite rules of how to do it. Ben Sarumora, it's an interesting case. Because Ben Sarumora, there is a rule, he's chayiv skila, we give him the worst one, but the rule doesn't seem to make sense in terms of onesh. Because even though ultimately, and we're going to discuss this in a moment, ultimately he's going to do an avera for which he deserves something, some sort of punishment. None of the averas on the list, it seems, pashtos, are averas for which he's chayv skila. So as a pre-onesh, it's a little bit strange. So it doesn't seem to fit rodef or onesh in this regard. Because for rodef, it should just kill him however you can. Just do whatever you... Yet on the other hand, if it were an onesh, why are we giving him the wrong onesh then? Seems to be something off. We're giving him too severe an onesh. There's no such thing as too severe for a rodef. You can kill him in the most heinous way possible as long as it stops him. So you could argue, okay, so that sounds a little more like a rodef. Yeah, but then why are we makbid that it be skila? We're being makbid that it's skila. So you could argue, well, no, a rodef you can kill him in the most heinous way possible. But because this rodef has to be killed in a Beis Din, so we need to do something that's Beis Din related. Okay, these are all just wide open possibilities. Just trying to draw a picture for you that there are two distinct dinim that may be going on here, and they may be working simultaneously. A din of a pre-onesh, the chiddush of Ben Soror being an onesh, but happening too early, and a din of rodef, but the unusual thing that we're labeling him a rodef so early in life, so he hasn't even thought about doing this aver yet, and we're already going to call him a rodef. Now, what is his aver going to be? So, if you look in the Gemara, I don't have to read through the whole Mishnah. You saw the Mishnah already, I assume. So, this whole Gemara, there is no Gemara here. Nothing is said in this Gemara by an Amora. It's just a Brisa. The whole thing is one long Brisa. The high school guys were asking me today, why does the Gemara repeat like three quarters of the Mishnah? Because it's a Brisa. That's what Brises do. They repeat the entire Mishnah with a few extra details. So, what are the few extra details that the Brisa adds in? The first few lines. Bryce asks the obvious kasha of Chimnei Shachoset Hatimar Basav Shosu Chatzil Logiayin Italki Amr Toriyes and Vezin Lisakel. What did he do to be Chayv Skila? He ate some meat, drank some wine. Big deal. He's Chayv Skila for that. The Torah understands the psychology of a child who sins in such a way. Shasov Migmar Nichseyavim. Okay, so what's he going to do? Ultimately, his father's money is going to run out. And he's going to look for the money somewhere else. He's going to look for to feed his habit. Limudo means hergel, his habit. Ve'eno motzi, and he's not going to find any money to feed his habit. V'yotzei l'prashas drachim u'mlastim esabrios. So he's going to go out to the highways and he's going to rob people. U'mlastim esabrios. So at the end of the day, what are Avirus going to do? Sounds from the Pashup Shal Gemara, Gneva. He's going to be a ganav. What's the onesh for a ganav? You're right. You return what you paid. Sometimes there's a din kefel or whatever. Fine. A heshivas agzela. Okay. Never misa. So where does the Gemara see anything that the Gemara wanted to know? How could we kill him? So the Gemara's answer is because one day he's going to do something that he's going to be chayv mamon for. So very, very troubling. What's going on over here? So says the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos. Yadon al Shem Sofo, and again, keep in mind this chakira. Is this rodef or is this onesh? As we read through the lashon of the Rambam, and again, the lashon of the Rambam here in Shemashai is not really the lashon of the Rambam because the Rambam wrote in Arabic and it's translated. But you know, hopefully the translation is good. Let's be summit that the translation is good. So Yadon al Shem Sofo kolomar she'atori ida kimishu hu begilt sa'ir ta'avasan ad kedei kach kamatuar. Someone who, at a young age, has such strong taivos, the way we're painting the picture in these Mishnayos, there's no way to prevent that at the end of the day, that he would steal somebody else's, no way to prevent him from stealing at the end of the day, and murdering, to take money to do what he likes to do. So the Rambam added something, didn't say in the Gemara. Right, what did the Rambam add? Shofech Dam didn't say that in the Gemara. The Gemara said, Melasim Esbriyas, he's going to rob. So the Rambam added Shofech Dam. Why does the Rambam add Shofech Dam? Because the Gemara doesn't make any sense. The Gemara asked Akasha, why are we killing this guy? He didn't do anything that he deserves to get killed. And for the Gemara, oh, but he's one day going to be Melasim Esbriyas. That doesn't answer the question. So why are we killing him? So Rambam says, no, Melasim Esbriyas means... You have to say the Rambam. It's not that the Rambam had a different gears in the Gemara. The Rambam understood Melasim Esbriyos. They didn't say Gonev Esbriyos. What's the difference between what are listim? What's Melasim Esbriyos? It's an armed robber, a highway bandit. So, granted, if an armed robbery goes well, you don't have to kill anybody. But if you make a career out of armed robbery, one day you're likely to kill somebody. So ultimately, the guy is probably going to kill somebody. So that's a Melasim Esbriyos. The Rambam adds it in V'shoveich Damim. The Rambam's not adding it, he's teaching the Gemara. V'shoveich Damim is part of Melasim Esbriyos. Because he wants his money, he needs his fix. So L'fichach Siva Hashem L'achrisa L'fnei Kein. So God commanded to cut him down before he does that. According to the Rambam, does it sound like Onesh? Does it sound like Rodef? Do you see any indication in the Rambam? Then the Rambam adds, "V'yeh hareg kodim shiharog." Let him get killed before he kills. So that sounds like rodef, right? V'yeh hareg kodim shiharog. Kill him before he kills. We need to save him from doing this terrible act. Not that we're punishing him on the sofa. The Rambam doesn't emphasize that Nidon al Shem Sofo, but just that we are killing him because he's going to kill. You could argue the Lashon Tziva Hashem Lachrisol Lefnei Kain sounds like more of a din of onesh. But even let's take it back a step. Ram writes Shovich Damim. Why does Ram write Shovich Damim? Because he couldn't conceive of the fact that the Gemara is telling you that you're going to give a guy skila because one day he's going to steal. So it has to be you're giving a guy skila because one day he's going to murder, right? When you murder, what do you get? What's the onesh? What's the onesh for murder? It's not skila. It's hereg. Sayin. That's yeah. Skila straight for hereg v'chenek. Hereg is sayin. So he's going to get, right? That's the onesh for murder. And yet we're giving him skila. So even according to the Rambam, at the end of the day, the Gemara didn't really answer the question. The Gemara said, I don't understand. Why are we giving this guy skila? He didn't do anything. So the Rambam can't imagine that the Gemara's answer is, well, he's going to steal. So what does the Rambam do? Because stealing isn't close to skila. So what does the Rambam do? He brings you a little closer to skila, but he doesn't bring you all the way there. He says he's going to steal and murder. Okay, but it's still not skila. What did the Rambam solve over here? So one could argue, maybe, that the question of why he's getting something worse than he was ever going to deserve is a question that needs to be dealt with separately. Whether it's stealing or murder, Skila's worse than whatever he's going to deserve, right? If the Rambam was bothered, I don't understand how can you give him an onesh that's worse than what he's going to deserve, and that's why the Rambam adds in that he's going to be a murderer, then the Rambam didn't solve anything. Because the question is going to have to be dealt with separately anyway. You're going to have to solve the question of why Skila and not Hereg, same way the Rambam feels like you have to deal with the question of why Skila and not just Mamon. So if the Rambam was bothered, if what motivated the Rambam to add the words V'shofech Damim is the fact that the Onesh doesn't match, well then the Rambam doesn't help himself any. Because the Onesh still doesn't match. So maybe you could argue that there's something else that motivated the Rambam to add the words V'shofech Damim. It wasn't Stam that the Onesh didn't match. There's something more that caused the Rambam to say V'shofech Damim. The fact that the Onesh didn't match, he's going to have to deal with anyway. But there's something else that caused him to say V'shofech Damim. What's that something else? So maybe if the Rambam's viewing it from a din of Rodef, from perspective of Rodef, let's say you come down here for davening one morning, and you see some high school kid going through my bag. I leave my computer bag here, and he's about to steal my computer. Are you allowed to kill him? No. If you see someone about to steal, he's not armed. He's stealing stealthily. He's not confronting anybody. You are definitely not allowed to kill him. There is no din of Rodef when someone's going to steal. When is there a din of Rodef? When someone's going to kill. So it could be what motivates the Rambam to add V'shofech Damim isn't Betoras Onesh, because Betoras Onesh, he doesn't help himself by saying V'shofech Damim. It's still a problem. I mean, the problem that you confront is, why are you giving this guy skila? The guy doesn't deserve skila. The Rambam doesn't solve that problem by saying v'shofech damim. Because even if he was v'shofech damim, he still wouldn't deserve skila. So the Rambam is not adding the words v'shofech damim because he's worried about Taras Onesh. What the Rambam is doing when he's adding v'shofech damim, maybe, and again, it's not 100% mukhrach, you could definitely argue, but it might be that the Rambam is looking at it from a Rodef perspective. That it doesn't make any sense we're going to kill him as a Rodef if all he is all he's ever going to be is a thief. So Rambam has to add, no, he's going to be Shofech Damim also. That's why we need to kill him as a Rodef. Again, Skila doesn't match Rodef, because a Rodef doesn't get Skila, he gets whatever you get, but maybe that might be the lumdus in the Rambam over here, and why he adds V'shofech Damim. Just a possibility. Question?
It seems like events sort of more, everything's like,
kill people, so then why is it even a question that why wouldn't we give him this punishment? We eventually think he's going to
Meaning, what's the end game over here? The way the Gemara makes the end game sound is that he's going to steal. The Rambam says, no. And the stealing leads to murder because it's armed robbery always leads to murder. And you're saying, and people who commit armed robbery and murder people will likely also do a lot of other things that for which they'll be chayvski. And a good chunk of Rishonim say like that. Yad Ramah says like that. Achronim say like that as well. Right? That the way to read the Gemara is, umalasim esabrios v'chulei. It's like the Gemara forgot the v'chulei. You know, once you hit a certain point in terms of the crimes you're willing to commit, so, you know, it's hefker. Anything could happen. And that's the Yad Ramah. If you look at the Yad Ramah, it's in the photocopy in the back. The Yad Ramah writes, "Umeach shud tzarech latzis l'prashos rachum lasim esabrios sof bali dechil Shabbos." You're going to be mechal Shabbos also. V'nimtza mischayv skila. So that's going to be chayv skila. So really, you know, the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam clearly just says he leaves it at murder. But the Yad Ramah seems to say that you take that next step as well. The problem with that is that the Gemara should have said that. The Gemara didn't. The Gemara asks, why does this guy deserve skila? If the answer is, well, he's going to be Mechal Shabbos, that's why he's getting skila. Good, so tell me that he's going to be Mechal Shabbos. The Gemara doesn't do that. The Gemara says he's going to be Melastim Esabrios. So it leaves it two steps short. It really should have had the word V'chulei. Yeah, well, but again, that's not what the Yad Ramah is saying. The Yad Ramah is saying he's going to be Mechal Shabbos, and that's why he's going to get skila. So there's a weakness in either position. In the Rambam's position, the weakness is, well, the Rambam has both weaknesses, sort of. I mean, if you were to just say, leave it up in Melastim Esabrios, that he's going to rob, so then the question is, it's so far away from skila, because he robs, he's going to get skila. The Yad Ramah deals with that by saying, no, he's going to do things for which he deserves skila. Problem is, the Gemara doesn't say it. The Rambam has both problems. He says something the Gemara doesn't say, and he doesn't bring you all the way to skila. The Rambam doesn't bring you all the way. So that's what some of the Achronim understand. The Aruch Lener understands. No, what the Rambam means when he says Melastim Esabrios, and then you're going to be Shofech Damim, it means that you're going to that the Aruch Lener just deals with the issue in the Rambam of why does the Gemara just say Melastim Esabrios if it means Shofech Damim? He says, yeah, it's Hainuach. It's the same thing. You're an armed robber. You're going to be Shofech Damim. It's always going to go together. Now, Rav Moshe is a very famous tshuva about Ben Tzor Amora. No one ever asked him about a Ben Tzor Amora, but Rav Moshe was asked in Yoredei Chel Gimel Siman Lamed Hey about smoking marijuana from a Jewish perspective. Is there any halachic issue with smoking marijuana? So Rav Moshe says, you know, classic answer, it's not against Eidin in the Torah, it's against Kala Torah Kula, it's against everything. So he says, I'll identify five averos that a person violates. And I think when he gets into the Ben Sura discussion, this may shed light a little bit on how to, at least how Rav Moshe viewed Ben Sura. So he says, first of all, the first problem with smoking marijuana, he says, Chadash u'mekalkel u'mechales haguf. It's physically harmful to a person. V'afim nimtzu anashim briim shalom azaklem kolkach. You may find certain people, what he means is people who are very very healthy, very strong, where for whatever reason the smoke doesn't seem to affect them. But no one's brain is so strong that marijuana won't affect their brain. It affects everybody's brain. And they're not going to be able to analyze things, to understand things properly. That's even worse. It's even worse than destroying their physical well-being. Interesting statement. Ramosh says, okay, obviously you're not going to be able to learn well if you're high. You're obviously not going to be able to daven properly. You may be able to daven better, but okay, you're not going to be able to daven with proper kavana if you're high. And then he says, now's not the time to discuss this, but what does he mean by that? That you're going to do mitzvos, and when you're doing the mitzvos, it's not going to be with the proper das, ki'ilu lo kimam. It's as if you weren't mekayim the mitzvos. Really? So is he saying mitzvah shrichs kavana? So is he saying avar mitzvah shrichs kavana? That we pass in mitzvah d'oraisa li is the mitzvah shrichs kavana. And since mitzvah shrichs kavana, so you're not going to have kavana to do the mitzvah. Is that true that someone who's high doesn't have kavanah to do a mitzvah? Someone who smokes marijuana and then shakes a lulav didn't have kavanah. What kind of kavanah do you need to do for mitzvah shrichs kavanah? Like, how deep do your machshavos have to be? What does mitzvah shrichs kavanah mean? What do you have to think when you put on tefillin? So some people say before they put on tefillin, shem yichul kutcha bruchu, and they think about sfiros and this and that. Do you need to do that to fulfill the mitzvah? If there's anything you learn from me, It's that you don't need to do all those things in order to be mekayim mitzvah. Right? What do you need to have kavana for? To serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. That I'm doing a mitzvah that Kosh Baruch Hu commanded. Someone who's high in marijuana doesn't have the ability to have that level of kavana. You don't need havana of the mitzvah. You need kavana. You need kavana that what you're doing. So what does Moshe mean by this? That it's ki'ilu, that you're not mekayim it. If you do it without the das haro'i. So what he might be saying, it's not a din of kavana, but a din of neshota. That a person who's high may have a din of a shota. And if a person is a shota, he's part of a mitzvah. So if a person does a mitzvah when he's a shota, and then he gets better, he's chayiv to do the mitzvah again. A guy eats matzah when he's shota, and then he gets better, so he has to do the mitzvah again. So Moshe might be referring that a person might be high enough that they take on the status of a shota, which is interesting to me, because I was just thinking about this yesterday, not in terms of marijuana, but in terms of where does a person become, at what stage does a person become a shota? Meaning, there are some people that as soon as you start to talk to them, you know that something is off, right? That there's something wrong, that there's some mental disability. But they might be able to hold down a job, maybe not as a doctor or a lawyer, maybe serving pizza in a pizza shop. You know, but that, is that a shota? So where do you draw the line? What makes a person a shota? So if Moshe says that you're doing it below das haro'i, it's kilu, you're not mekayim the mitzvah, I think he's talking about shota. It could be that someone who's high has no sense of responsibility whatsoever and is not going to be able to hold down a job. I don't know. If you've ever visited Wall Street, there are a lot of riots against that. So I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly. I actually just emailed Rav Shachter yesterday to ask him about this issue, because it's on the 10-minute halacha list. I have to know. It's from an autistic person, someone who's on the autistic spectrum. So it's a pretty big spectrum, the autistic spectrum. So can you be misdived into a minion? Can they lane? These are serious shaylos. Nice and b'chol yom. Anyway, that's problem number one Rav Moshe has. Problem number two, you develop a certain sense of taiva that's even worse, even more powerful than the taiva to eat. And other types of taivas that you need to live by. And you know, as taivas work, sometimes people lose control. They can't ever rein it in. And that's what Ben Soru Mora is all about. Al taiva hayoser gedola sheyesh la'achila afshu la'achil k'sheros. By Ben Soru Mora, he has a taiva for food. Now, a taiva for drugs is greater than a taiva for food. And a taiva for food isn't all bad, because you need food to live. You don't need drugs to live. So Moshe says, this is Ben Soru Mora to the nth degree. But that's what Ben Soru Mora is based on, that he has this unhealthy taiva. So, when does he have the unhealthy taiva? He already has it as a kid. It's not that he's going to develop an unhealthy taiva. He's already displayed this unhealthy taiva. And we assume he's not going to be able to, it's not going to be actual tzamtzim. He's not going to be able to rein it in. In a word, what Ramosha is saying? Addiction. That at a certain point, people lose their bechir chavshis. They lose their ability to choose right from wrong. The taiva becomes an addiction. And so think from our chakira. If what we're worried about is that his taivas are unhealthy, and his taivas are going to lead him down a path, what does that sound most like? Does that sound more like rodef, more like pre-onesh, more like protecting the people, the potential victims, more like protecting himself from himself? Where would you put it on the list? In which category would you think? Sounds a lot like protecting himself from himself. That his taiva is going to get so out of control, he's going to continue to do these averos, and we just need to stop him before he gets out of control. The kolshki and shasul lahavi atzmal taiva gedola odioser uldavar shalaka shum tzaruch ladam bezeshu aser. So he says drugs even worse. It's a bigger taiva. You have no need for it. The avshel malkus name sheinon shemradin mikam malkum yisur avadi over alavze. What's he dealing with in that line? So Moshe said there is a rule by malkus that if someone gets a punishment for a lesser avera. So you would say, oh, for the bigger avera, it's a kavl chomer, you should get that punishment. But we have a rule, no, ein onshin min adin. You don't give an onesh based on the kavl chomer. So that's true. We can never give an onesh based on the kavl chomer. But we can make an iser based on the kavl chomer. It's pashut throughout all shas. We always do that. the nature of Kal V'Chomer is that if this lesser Avera is Aser, then Kal V'Chomer, the more strict thing, is going to be Aser. So Moshe says, I'm not telling you you're going to give a guy who's smoking marijuana skila, because you give Ben Sora Mor a skila. Even though logically you should, because it's a worse, it's Ben Sora Mor to a greater degree. So logically you should give him skila. But Einon Shimon did. We wouldn't give skila for that because they don't. But that's a din in onesh. That's not a din in. That's not a din in an iser. Why is it true that they don't shemina din? Why don't? If logically it makes sense that we should. If someone does lesser avera gets malchus, so then someone who does a more serious avera should for sure get malchus. Why won't we give the person who does a more serious avera malchus? So I think we must have mentioned this in the past. You have to really break down onesh and figure out what onesh is all about. Onesh may not just be about our need to mete out justice on a person. If that's the case, yeah, let it be onesh min adin. If he deserves malchus for the lesser avera, give him malchus for the more serious avera. But onesh also has a very clear component of kapara. So when you give a person onesh, the onesh is supposed to be their kapara. If a person does the lesser avera, malchus might be enough to be mechaper for him. But if he does a more serious avera, I might give him malchus, and then guess what? He still didn't get enough to get a kapara, because he did too serious an avera. So then what did I give him malchus for? I stam violated an avera of hitting my fellow Jew, for no purpose whatsoever, because there's an element of kapara. Take it back to Ben Sora Mora now. Would you say onesh min hadin by Ben Sora Mora? Well, it depends how you view Ben Sora Mora. Is Ben Sora Mora din in onesh, in which case there's a kapara element? Or has been Sora Mora din in Rodev? Well, we don't care about Kapara, we just need to stop him. If we're din of Rodev, but we don't care about Kapara, so Luchora, we should say Onesh Min Adin by Ben Sora Mora. Just need to stop him. I don't care whether he's getting Kapara. The whole reason we say Onesh Min Adin might be that you don't know that it's going to be enough to give him a Kapara. And the whole point of an onesh is for a kapara. Yeah, but by skill of Ben Sora Mora, it might not be because of kapara. It might be because he's a rodev. We're trying to protect him from. We're trying to protect him from himself. We're trying to protect the world from him. Whatever it is, it's about just stopping him, putting an end to this guy. In which case, we should say onesh min adin. It's not a lemaisa shayla. Rav Moshe is not going to get into the nitty gritty of that because you know who cares about onesh when you're talking in 19. You know, Tavshin Lamed Gimel, 1973, you're not going to start discussing Onesh. Because it doesn't matter, we don't do Onesh anyway. But in terms of the lumdus of what's going on by Ben Sora Mora, it's not so pasha you're not going to say Enon Shemin Adin by Ben Sora Mora. Okay, that's problem number two. Problem number three, says Rav Moshe, V'ika gama tam dika Ben Sora Mora shesofo sheyelastim esabrios kadis percentage from Herb Ben Sora. In addition to the addiction thing and that it's going to get out of control, he's also going to hurt a lot of people. So Rav Moshe took a clear transition over here. What was reason number two? Was that it's going to be out of control, which we said sounds like protecting him from himself, right? And now what's he moving on to? Protecting others from him, right? He's going to be Masa Masa Rios. He needs to protect those other people. But all in the world of Ben Sora Mora. Then he moves outside of Ben Sora Mora for reasons number four and five. Right? Reason number four is Kibbut Aveim. Most people don't want their children smoking pot, so it's a problem in Kibbut Aveim. Probably the last thing I would have thought of, like, why is it us to smoke pot? Because Kibbut Aveim, you know, you got to think of the whole Torah, you have to think of everything. And finally, the first thing I would have thought of probably is where Moshe says number five, but you know, people seem to be less convinced when you throw this Isra at them because they don't take it so seriously, even though it's pasuk in the Torah. That there's the Isra Aseh of Kedoshim Tiyu. And the Ramban al-Chumash says Kedoshim Tiyu, that a person should always be holy. And part of being holy is, the Ramban writes, is if you had to make a top five Ramban's ala Torah, most famous Ramban's ala Torah, this would probably, definitely makes a top five, would probably be number one, most famous Ramban ala Torah. Kedoshim Tiyu, the Ramban talks about a menuvel b'rishus ha-Torah, someone who does things that are technically mutter, but he's a menuvel. Someone, let's say, he's a total glutton. He eats, he overeats like crazy, just eats meat and steak and more and more and more and more. So it's kosher, it's all glut kosher. It's a menuvel b'rishus ha-Torah. So it's an Isra Seh D'Oraisa of Kedoshim Tiyu. So you can say, oh, well, there's no technical halachic isur of smoking marijuana. So Ramosh says, first of all, there are four technical halachic isurim, but even if you were to get around all four technical halachic isurim, at the very least, it's a minuval brishos haTorah. Right, you could get around the kibud aveim. You could say, let's say that his parents are dead. So is there a din of kibud aveim lachar moso? Yes. The Gemara in Kiddush says beferish that mechabdu b'chayv mechabdu moso, but the din of kibud aveim lachar moso is a very different kind of kibud. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, how do we know that you're mechad? How does one go about kibud aveim when a parent is alive? You get them to drink, you get them to eat, you dress them, you know, all sorts of service. And what about when a parent is dead? How do you do kibud aveim? Whenever you mention their name, you say Zechor Levracha Aredi Kaparas Mishkava. That's it. Doesn't sound like there's any, you know, if your parent told you, I love when you wear a red shirt on Tuesdays. So maybe when they're alive, you should wear a red shirt on Tuesdays. It makes them happy. But after they're dead, stomach, that's not part of the mitzvah of kibbutz. May not even be part of the mitzvah of kibbutz when they're alive either, because like, what difference does it make to them if you're wearing a red shirt on Tuesdays? But, you know, but it could be. It could be that when they're alive, he's in kibbutz lachar moso. It's not. So his parent doesn't like when he smoke marijuana. It's embarrassing to them. Lachar moso? Is that part of the mitzvah of kibbutz? You could argue that it's a bizayin aveim, so maybe that is shayich even lachar moso. Okay. You have to work through the kibbutz aveim, see how it fits into the kibbutz aveim. So yeah, but Rav Moshe, I mean, finds this is what made Rav Moshe Rav Moshe, is that he's asked a contemporary shayla where the Gemara obviously never discusses smoking marijuana, and he finds a theoretical construct in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and says, ah, that theoretical construct is an exact parallel to a drug addict, because you're dealing with addiction. This is the sugya of addiction. But what I'm trying to show to you is that it's a sugya of addiction from one perspective of the sugya. Because it's not only sugi of addiction in terms of what he does to himself, but in terms of the damage he can do to other people, it's not necessarily the sugi of addiction, unless you want to say, like Ramosh saying, no, that every it's not only ben soramar, addiction to wine and meat, that leads you to ultimately kill. It's any addiction that leads you to ultimately kill. A person's going to want his fix of drugs, and his parents aren't going to, he's already finished stealing money from his parents, so he'll just move on to the next thing, and he'll continue to do whatever he can to get the money. Okay, we'll stop there. I want to get into tomorrow the major question that everyone deals with is, if you're not going to end up doing something that you chayv skila for, why do we give you a pre-skila? Just make it hereg if you're going to murder somebody. So we already discussed the Adramaz approach, but the Maral in Gor Aryeh has a fascinating discussion that opens up a world of a sugya for us in terms of quantity and quality in Averos, and we'll go through a variety of the Rayas that Rav Yosef Engel has. If you're able to stick around for a time in Alech Shir Mincha, that would be great. If not, have a great day.